Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, Sunday, April 29th. We are joined, as always, but with my sister Denise, and also we have our guest tonight, Race Bird. He's the winner of Season 2 of Face Off, but first I just wanted to remind everyone that's out there listening, if you have a question for Race or if you have a comment that you want to make, you can call in at 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399, and as always, you can join us in the chat room here on Beauty Talk, or you can email us your questions at, goodness, I went blank. You can email your questions at illusionsbeauty@gmail.com. First, Race, I wanted to welcome you to the show. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate
it. You're so welcome. We are big fans of Face Off. But first, before we get into any questions about the show, we just want you to kind of just introduce yourself to our listeners and just let us know who you are and what you do and what inspired you to audition for Face Off.
Okay. Well, hello, everybody. I am Race Bird, and I like to look at myself as an all-around artist. Right now I do tattoos and, of course, you know, Face Off, I did the makeup stuff, and I come also from a background of graphic design. In college, I studied virtual technology, which is another design field based off of virtual worlds. So, but yeah, Face Off came about. I was actually up there in college and finishing out my last year, and I started watching the first season and just fell in love with it. I had a friend that was telling me about it, and he said, yeah, I used to do Halloween masks just for fun, it's kind of a hobby, and I sold a few of them, and he was telling me about this show, and he's like, you know, you really should consider going on this thing, and I told him at the time, I said, well, geez, I've never done makeup before, I'm sure it's quite a different world than mask making, and so I looked into it, and then, you know, by the time auditions, there was only like a week left, and I thought, you know, I don't have anything to lose, I might as well just try it, and worst thing they could say is that, you know, I wasn't good enough, and then it just kind of worked out from there, I guess.
So, tell me, Ray, because it seems like a lot of the contestants, and I might be wrong, but it seems like a lot of contestants on season two either were, I know Sue just kind of got out of school, there are a lot of people who were either fresh out of school or weren't actually effects artists, or there were things that they did that was, you know, kind of had something to do with the effects arena. But, you know, to be an effects artist and looking at this show, you have to do a lot of different things, body paint, you know, sculpting and molding and so many other aspects to it besides just maybe creating creatures. How does one, because you just, you know, you told us you had your design background, you did tattoos. How did you, I'm just still trying to figure out, how did you win the show?
Well, you know, because I still look back on that. And I, go ahead. ahead.
Let me just say really quickly, I asked that question not saying that it was impossible for you to do it, but I say it because you presented some awesome works. I mean, I would have thought that you had gone to school and you'd worked in the field for several years. I mean, awesome work. So I'm still trying to figure out how you did it.
Well, thank you, first off. You know, it's funny. Through my experience just doing different types of designs and different design fields, I learned that, and also actually, we had a class up in college, and our professors for the specific degree I was in were really all about not focusing so much on the tools, and they always looked at the tools as just a way to get your ideas across. And so at that time, mm-hmm. our tools were Photoshop and, you know, other computer software engines. And but the thing is for this show, I really came into it with the mentality that it wasn't about so much the knowledge, you know,
mm-hmm.
just what I could do creatively. And that was just kind of a detail, you know, it was just more of the specifics of how I could actually get it across. And so I definitely had to learn along the way. And, you know, I always made a big joke that I kept one eye on my sculpture or my paint job, and then my other eye was watching what everyone else was doing, just so I kind of knew how to use some of the things I was watching them use, because I knew probably 10 or 15% of what was in that shop, you know. But
right.
talking to the producers before, you know, when we were having our auditions, I said, you know, if I have to, if everything breaks and everything gets messed up, I'll just duct tape it and try to put a cool paint job on there. You know, I mean, regardless of how you get there, the biggest thing is just getting there. So,
right.
you know, I think that's a lot of the things that you don't see on the show is how you actually design your time frame. You know, you actually, time management is such a huge portion of that. And everyone on that show is very talented. And if you give them mm-hmm. the time, you know, it'd be a little different ball game. But, you know, when you got to sit back and say, okay, I can only allow myself 3 or 4 hours of sculpting and, you know, 2 or 3 hours of paint, it's, you know, it really limits what you can do. But as far as, you know, how I won the show, I'm not really sure, but I was very focused, you know, I had good time management, and I was there to win. I grew up with a competitive background playing sports, and I knew how to bring it.
Right. I mean, that's really interesting. You know, you're saying it's not just about the knowledge, but what you could do creatively. And I guess that was the driving force in it all, is just your creativity. How hard was that, though? Because I know, you know, with the show, being under a lot of pressure, the time factor, you really didn't have any outside connections, you know, no more than what you guys were doing there and at the house. How hard was that, though? You know, maybe not necessarily knowing or having knowledge of all that was being done, but just kind of, like you said, watching what some of the others were doing and just picking up on things, but just trying to be creative as well. How hard was that?
It was pretty difficult. And I do remember the first day, right when we got to the house and we were talking about what everyone's credentials were, you know, what they'd worked on. And I remember leaving that conversation pretty quick and walking into the other room because I was almost discouraged. I was like, wow, I have nothing. I haven't worked on anything, you know. My first prosthetic makeup was the audition for the show. So, I mean, these guys are talking about movie titles that they've worked on and different things, different stuff that they've worked with. And I just couldn't be in the same conversation. So early on, it was a little discouraging, but you know, I knew I was comfortable with latex. I was comfortable with paint. I felt like I could airbrush anything. And the things I wasn't comfortable on, I just had to make sure that especially my early designs were more tailored to my strengths. And, you know, mm-hmm. if I could pick up some more knowledge along the way, then great. But, you know, at the end, if it came down to me just making something out of latex, then that's what I was going to do. So.
Right. Right. Now that you've won, what does that mean to you?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, and I still think that I'll understand how big it is here in the next coming months. It's mm-hmm. still kind of unraveling itself, how big this is. But the hardest thing for an artist, regardless of which field you're in, is getting your name out there. You know, there's a lot of brilliant artists that haven't been discovered yet out there that could be game changers, you know. They could be people that are going
right.
to help push this evolution of all kinds of arts. And so to get your name out there is the biggest benefit from this. And now people know, you know, a little bit of what I can do. And I think when I go and try to do things, I have a lot more support because of that.
Right. Absolutely. Is there anything in particular that, I mean, I know from the show, you know, you won the car, you win the money. Also with winning, do you have responsibilities? Like, do you have to, like, do things around the country where you represent the show?
No, they pretty much let you go after the show. I mean, it's all
okay.
up to me now as far as what I do and where I want to take this. I'm sure
okay.
they'll, you know, help out here or there along the way, but it's really what you make it, and so it'll be interesting to see what, you know, happens here in the next year or so.
Now, have you been going, doing the I don't want to necessarily say makeup show, but have you been going from different trade shows, like special effects makeup shows or just regular makeup shows? Have you been doing any of that?
Yeah, I went to Monsterpalooza, and because my wife's been having some complications with her pregnancy, it's been a little harder for me to get away from the house, but I did make it to Monsterpalooza, and I do plan on going to IMATS later this year, and then there's a few other conventions I'd like to go to, and I think that's just kind of a way to, you know, there's a lot of fans that have been emailing me and want to find ways to meet me and maybe come to the classes that I've been doing, and
right.
So it's a good way for me to get out there and meet all the fans that help support me throughout the whole show, and I think that's important, you know. And,
absolutely.
And I love seeing those little kids come up to me, and, you know, their parents will tell me that they've been drawing ever since the show. And, you know, I think that's really special for me to know that I inspired especially young children to get out there and, you know, find this magic in art.
Right. Now, you mentioned IMATS. Is that, you're talking about Pasadena?
Yes.
Cool. Then maybe we will see you there.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Now, you were talking about the little kids coming up to you. I'm sure you have. Have you seen now, like, a huge number of people just in general, like, maybe hitting you up on Facebook, asking you all kinds of questions like, well, you know, I'm doing such and such. What type of product should I use to do this? Or what type of product should I use to that? So now are people looking at you for your opinions on products or how to do things now?
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of Facebook, especially, messages.
Mm-hmm.
And also my email's been hit pretty hard with it. And the hard part is trying to answer all of them. And so I'm still going back to right after when the show ends and finding old emails that I'm still replying to. So I'm trying to
right.
keep up on all that. But yeah, I get a lot of people asking about, you know, ways to attack certain things. And a lot of the ones I have a lot of fun with are design aesthetics, you know, how to create that new original thing or that new paint job or some of the color theories that are involved in everything. And, you know, times where I can really get a little crazy and expound on design, because that among everything, that's the most important part of my art is just the design process itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun to be able to talk about that, and especially up and coming artists that, you know, are just searching for information, because not too long ago I was that guy on the other end of the email, you know,
right.
sending emails to my favorite artists and just happy if I got any kind of response from me. From anybody, so
right.
I definitely want to be the guy that does respond to everyone. So,
right, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the show again. Who did you like? Well, first of all, let's start with season one, because you mentioned how, you know, you really liked season one, and I did too. That's how I really became a big fan of the show. Who on that show in season one did you really, really, like, follow?
You know, it was, I don't know if I necessarily had a favorite. I just had favorite pieces, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I think every week you'd have someone that would bring something new. Even the body painting with Anthony and Tom, I thought, did some amazing body painting work on that. And I also, you know, I thought Connor was very technically sound all the way through. And, of course, Tate and Gage, I thought they were a little more creative. And you know, I don't know if I had a favorite, but I really enjoyed watching everything for what they did. And also, not being a makeup artist, I learned a lot just by watching that first season too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the ways they went about doing things, and by the time season two came around, I felt pretty comfortable, you know, going into it, pretty comfortable being uncomfortable, I guess.
What about, well, you spoke earlier about, you know, creativity, and you just said about some of the ones who are a little bit more creative on season one. And, you know, they mentioned that a lot in season one. They were talking to Connor about his work, you know, how great he was, but they said, you know, he could have been a little bit more creative. How important do you think creativity plays in being an effects artist?
I think it's huge, and I think it's that way for any art field, even tattooing. You know, we've got amazing technically sound people, but they're not really pushing the boundaries of what a tattoo should look like, you know. And there's,
uh-huh.
you know, you got people from other countries that are really pushing that a little bit more than we are. But even in effects, it's, I think what happens, especially, and not to knock on any of the school systems, because I do think they're great, but as an artist, you have to know how to take inspiration, and it's too easy to get caught up in doing something that you know is going to look good, because
mm-hmm.
you just become, it becomes a copycat. You know, you just become, you're making replicas of all the cool stuff that's been produced the last 10, 20 years. But I think when you, to be creative, you're actually taking a step out of the box, and you're kind of pulling things from inspiration, but you're also throwing a lot of yourself in there. And so I think for mm-hmm. makeup artists and any artist for that, you have to be able to keep one foot in and one foot out. You know, you got to be able to connect with people still, but you also got to be pushing and trying to create that new thing that's going to evolve to, you know, and change. You know, if you're in movies, you could really change the look of the whole style of a movie, you know, for the next 10, 20
mm-hmm.
years based off something new. So, and I think as artists, that's what we need to all be doing. And I think it's a difference between a good one and a great one, is the great ones are going to be the ones that are pushing the boundaries of this thing.
Absolutely. What about season two? Were there any of your other contestants on season two that you liked some of the work that they were doing?
Yeah.
Anything stand out?
You know, I think every single one of them, and I told this to all of them when the show ended, is I really did learn something from every one of them, you know, at different
mm-hmm.
points of the competition. And all of them did a fabulous job. My team that I was able to pick there at the end, I thought I had the two best sculptors, you know, and Heather's just a work machine. And so I was so happy to get those guys, because I knew that all I had to do was sketch out something, and Miranda and Heather and Jerry were just going to pull right from the sketches and make it into 3D where I wouldn't have to, you know, fix anything. And they did just that. So I think, you know, they were really inspiring to me throughout the show, and I got something from everyone. You know, Matt was really pushing me conceptually, because he was a high concept guy, and then I came into it being a high concept, and so we kind of had conceptual battles. You know, always trying to outdo one of
mm-hmm.
the other one with something new and amazing. So I think everyone's kind of kept me on my toes. You know, it's like when you
mm-hmm.
are in a competition, you have to know what your competitors are doing, and you have to get yourself uncomfortable. You have to go do things you wouldn't normally do in order to pull yourself out of what you know. You can't be too comfortable, I guess.
Right, right. Now, I know it was a competition, and, you know, you wanted to be better than everybody else there, but did it also sometimes feel like, because I could see sometimes where you guys would be helping one another out. Like, yes, this is a competition, but I'm not going to, you know, let us leave here today and something's wrong with his mold, you know, or something's, you know, was it, did it ever feel like even though it's a competition, we still have to be there for each other?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we learned that early on when it almost became us versus the show or us versus the judges. You know, it's amazing when you're put all in the same situation and we don't have our family and friends there. So we relied on each other to help build our confidence and keep us upbeat and keep us going. And you know, we all said earlier, I remember in some of the earlier interviews I did for the show, I didn't want to go into this competition and win because someone else messed up on something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so in doing that, you want your best art to win. You don't want to win because someone had a mold break. And so in doing that, we would all help each other. And I think that, and also creatively too, you know, you help people with their concepts. You don't hold anything in. And they were helping me along the way. I was helping them along the way. We really all helped each other. And I think that's what's cool is when it came down to it, it was just based off solely the competition. And there wasn't any real cutthroat type attitudes among any of
mm-hmm.
us. And we all got along really well. And that was something that was really surprising, I think, to all of us, how that all worked out.
Mm-hmm. Now, Rachel, let me ask you this. How long before you actually show up for the show do you know that you're gonna that you've been chosen as a contestant?
I think it's different with every season, I'm sure, because of just the way they do the production. But I think I had about a month notice.
Okay.
Before we started.
Gotcha. And so once you get there, there's no cell phones, there's no access to the internet, no, you know, you can't talk to your families, your friends.
Yeah, they take everything away from you. You're stripped down, and all you have is each other. It's a really weird to explain to people when I came back.
And so how long did it take to actually shoot the show?
They were able to get all that finished within a couple months, so it was I think around 7 weeks.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's every 3 days we're working. So.
Okay. So every 3 days you're working, and then you have, I guess, what, the rest of the week off?
No, we pretty much didn't have a day off. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be done. You know, all the interviews and different pieces of the show kind of being put together, but it's definitely a, you know, you're working every day, all day long, and it's pretty intense, that's for sure. Even more intense when you can't talk to anyone back home.
The interviews and all that's taking place on the days that you all aren't actually working on whatever your project is.
Yeah, sometimes. It's every day was a little different, but we had somewhat of a schedule to where we could kind of keep with. And I'm not sure how much I can actually talk about it just because it's,
mm-hmm.
You know, their processes. I think every reality show has their own little process that they go through. And but yeah, we did, you know, there's a day for interviews. And if we weren't doing show stuff, we were doing some kind of interview. And sometimes they'd overlap each other. And It's a really fast-paced world, and when you're not working, you're doing something else for the show, and there's very little downtime. But I also look back, and I look at the downtime we did have, and, you know, you kind of cherish those moments. It's crazy how good of friends you end up being with your fellow castmates.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't speak for season one because I don't really know, but I know that all of us, even if it didn't seem like that on TV, we all got along really well and are all really good friends to this day.
Right. That's great. Let's talk a little bit about some of the competitions and just working as a team with other people. How was it working with, I believe you worked with Heather on the Dangerous Beauty
mm-hmm.
episode? So tell me a little bit about working with Heather and actually what you guys actually did. Tell us a little bit about your design.
Okay. Yeah, Heather was actually great to work with. And the cool part is me and her are both really very low drama. We don't get worried about things too much. And so the entire process was really just calm. And even when things weren't going right, it was just like, hey, oh, well, we'll figure it out. So, but it was really fun. And a lot of the reason why I chose her there at the end is because it was just so easy. And, yeah, we didn't really get that character quite where we wanted it by the end of the competition. You know, we wanted a lot more to be on his hands and shoulders, but we were looking at the way we were going to stick those fire sticks on him, and they were a little too heavy, so they might have pulled off some of the appliances, and we just thought it was better to leave them off and just try to do something cool with the paint job. But that was really fun, you know, and I think that challenge specifically, though, is one that we wish we could have back, because we were just trying to, you know, I think we used like 80% lizard and 20% of the actual plant, but in hindsight, we would use a lot more of the plant.
Okay, gotcha.
So maybe a little missed opportunity creatively to do something really cool there, but regardless, we had a lot of fun doing it, and he ended up being a pretty cool character by the when it was all said and done.
Tell me, how hard was it to please those judges?
It was pretty hard, you know, but for me it was harder to please myself when it came to the final product. And I don't know if it was the right way to look at it, but, and I would tell the other castmates this as well, I'd say, you know, the thing I'd say after every challenge was, you just got to do you. And that meant that regardless of what you think the judges want to see, you've got to make sure that it passes your critique first, and make sure it's something that's from you that you can be proud of at the end of the day. And so in doing that, you know, a lot of times I would break the rules a little bit just to get my ideas out there. And if I were to be sent home on something that was totally my idea and something that I was proud of, then I was okay with that. But I didn't want to go home on something that I thought the judges would like, and then they end up not liking it. So,
right, and it's interesting that you said it, because most of the people, when they went home, they would talk about how they were very proud of whatever it is that Vinci did. And so I guess that makes losing a whole lot easier when you know that, you know, you did your best and you were proud of the work, like you said, opposite of doing something that you think they would like, and then they turn out not liking it and kicking you off the show.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So.
I think a lot of people were like that. You know, I know that they, Sue and Bree, last time I talked to them, they were really happy with what they did. You know, and they were really happy to go home for those characters. And I think that's what it's all about, because ultimately it's three judges who have an awesome eye for design, but they are opinions, you know, and art is so dynamic that you can have something that looks terrible to a group of people, but it looks amazing to another group, and that's why we love art. That's why we love to do it, because it's all off your perception. So if you have three people that don't like it, but you and a few hundred do, then, you know, you gotta take it for what it's worth, I guess.
Right. The competition where you guys did the body painting.
Mm-hmm.
How comfortable were you with that particular competition? Because I know some of our guests before, they were like, you know, that was the first time they ever body painted, you know, Bree and Matt, the first time for the both of them, but yet they won.
Yeah, it was my first time body painting as well. But then again, I came from a background of tattooing.
Right.
And it's a very similar process, only it ends up being permanent. And so for me, it was different just because I was working with new paints I haven't used. But as far as making your model feel comfortable, and for me, I just looked at it like one of my clients that was getting tattooed all over their body, and, you know, it's just about making them comfortable and making this work of art. So I was actually probably more comfortable on that one than I was on any of the others, to be honest. Yeah, that one was easy, I felt.
Let's talk about the finale of the show. It went a little different than how we're used to seeing, you know, the show every week. And I wasn't sure if I like wasn't looking at the TV at the time and missed something, but you know, I know that you guys all came out with what you created, you know, mm-hmm. and showed it to the audience. How was the process before that? Did some of the contestants from your season come back to assist you, or because I missed that part. I don't know if that was something that they showed or didn't show, but I don't remember seeing it. Did you get help from some of your some of the other contestants, or because you know you guys came up with three different things? So
yes.
How did it all work out?
Yeah, we got to our other contestants came back, and we got a kind of like a schoolyard. We got to pick them one at a time, and I had, you know, my team of Jerry, Miranda, and Heather, and, you know, we had the three characters, and then I just kind of designated which areas I needed them to work on, and it was just a real group effort to pull those all together. So it almost felt like the finale was more about how you can manage a team of artists, is what it felt
mm-hmm.
like. Of course, with your own ideas, but it wasn't so much about what you did technically. It felt more like a management challenge is what it seemed like, because that goes back
oh, wow.
to being able to design your time schedule. You know, now it's not just you, or now it's not just you and another person. There's four of you, and there's three characters, and they're going to be dancing, and so you've got to be real quick with your decision making. And I think it all ties in. And of course, the concept and the actual artwork is the main focus there, but it felt like a little bit of a team challenge or team management challenge as well.
Tell us a little bit, talk a little bit more about that team challenge. Tell us about the characters that you had to create and the whole process of actually pulling that together, because they were dancing characters.
Yeah, well, after watching the first season, I thought in coming into the finale, we didn't know that they were going to be dancing, and I was getting my mind going and thinking of all these spectacular props I'd be using and big appendages flying out from the characters, and really going to go all out for this last one. And then we show up, find out that they're dancing, and it was and immediately this really cool design just kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Then we talked to the choreographers, and they're like, yeah, you can't have a lot of things flipping around and flying around, and so that condensed it even more. And it was kind of at first I was kind of bummed, because I was thinking, oh, all these characters are much more magnificent in my mind, but we've got to condense them so that they can do this dance. And it was tough, you know. It's tough when you design for a dance, because you want the dancers to pull off this amazing dance, and you want them to be moving and throwing their head around and freaking out. You don't want to hinder them at all. And so, you know, you kind of know in the back of your head that some of these things just aren't going to stay on very well.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to build them up in a way that makes them look awkward when they're out there trying to dance. So it's a careful balance between putting the glue in certain spots, keeping it thin in certain spots, and taking that risk that it might pop off just so that they can move the way you want them to move. So,
right.
It was pretty tricky, and, you know, by the end of it, we did have a few spots that were popping up, especially the bald caps. But the dancers, right before they went on stage, they said, should we kind of like restrict our movements a little bit so we don't, you know, pop any of these off? And I remember telling one of them, I'm like, I want you to try to dance those things off. You know, I said, give those characters the attitude that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And that's,
right.
That's ultimately what it's about, you know. That one, it's all about the show.
Absolutely. And there was something going on with one of your characters after they did the dance routine. Something was lifting
Oh yeah, the ball caps had snapped on. Actually, I think it was just the white character, and then also the routines. Every time that they did the dance routine, that little baby mask that we put on was a really tight fit, and every time it was pulled off, it would pull a little bit of makeup with it every time, and so, you know, the combination of just the dance moves and then that being taken off a few times just unraveled it a little bit. But we knew that was going to happen. We knew, but that goes back to the, you know, taking risks, and you have to, for us, there's a lot of symbolic representation with that little baby mask, and we wanted that to be ripped off, and yet it had to stay on, you know, the first part of the dance, so.
And who? And I'm looking actually right now at the picture of the three designs. Who comes up with, like, I'm looking at what they actually are wearing, which is not much of anything, but who comes up with that?
Their actual wardrobe. That was us, and we ended up getting those. Those were out of silk. We wanted to do a full body paint on them, but realized that our time frame was going to be cutting it too close. And instead of having them run around in underwear, because I think they look real cheesy when you have underwear, we're like, we'll make them these little skirt things. And then we were supposed to actually go and airbrush them and darken them up and do some different, you know, form them into more of a stylistic, but we just didn't quite get to that point with some of the other things ran into. But we got close.
Right. What did you, how was the feeling like when, after the performance was over, and then the judges went up to actually get a closer look? And I know you guys were used to that every competition, them going up getting a closer look, but now here's the finale. And you know something had gone wrong with one of your pieces. What was that feeling like to see them go up and get a close look while you guys are standing there and you know that this could be it?
It was difficult because, you know, when they first came on stage and they were all done up in their makeup, we got a pretty good reaction from the audience. And so we thought, oh, man, maybe, you know, if the dance goes well, we could really... we might be able to pull this off. And then as the dance went on and we realized that they had some issues, stuff falling apart, I was pretty bummed. I was thinking, oh yeah, they can't, you know, I wouldn't be able to get a win with the ball cap popping up. And then another guy had something on his arm that was peeling off. And so I really didn't think I was going to win it. There was a part of me that was hoping that, you know, they could see through some of the technical stuff and really see the characters that were there. And, you know, I was just hoping that that would mean more than a technical malfunction. So, and it, you know, I was happy when they said my name at the end.
So I guess I could say you were shocked.
Yeah, it was funny because I was actually thinking of how I was going to congratulate Ian. I really thought Ian was going to win it, and so I was like, you know, I'm on TV, I don't want to look like an idiot, so I want to make sure I go and give him a hug or something, and I was just kind of planning on how that was going to go down, and then Glenn said my name, and I was shocked. It was almost like it didn't register right away, and just overwhelming joy, but shock. It was very weird feeling. It almost didn't really hit me until later on that night when I got home and realized what had just happened. So it was wild.
what did you like about Ian and RJ's final work?
What I loved is there were just so much different from mine. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Very cool looks. RJ, he brought his style, that nice, fun, you know, bright colors and a lot of flamboyancy to the characters, which, you know, he's always done really comedic characters all through the competition, and this is, they weren't necessarily comedic, but they were just, you know, very Vegas-like, I guess is the best way to describe them, but really theatrical, you know, really cool. And then Ian's were just very gruesome and surreal, and they looked, you know, really wicked looking. And mine were just kind of, I think that we all really hit our genres real well. But I thought both Ian and RJ just knocked it out of the park. I thought they did a phenomenal job. And the other cool thing is I became such good friends with both those guys that I think we all wanted each other to win. You know, of course, when you're in a competition, you want to win, but if I had to lose to either of those guys, I would still be really happy about it because, you know, they're such good friends of mine, and I knew that, you know, they really needed that win just as bad as I did. So.
Right. What do you think it takes for an artist to be a great special effects artist?
Well, I think, you know, kind of what we were talking about earlier, I think that you can't just be another artist that does what everyone else is doing. I think you have to find what you really enjoy about it. You know, you got to put yourself into everything you do, and
mm-hmm.
you have to be confident in it. If people can look at your stuff and know that it's a specific style, then I think, you know, that's good. If they can see your style among a big group of artists, I think that's important. And I think a lot of people will get scared when you say that to them because they think, well, how can I just invent this new style? And it's not really about inventing something. It's about using your inspirations the right way and being able to add yourself as much as possible. And that's
mm-hmm.
where you create that little niche, that thing that identifies you differently than other people.
Right.
And it's you know when you get it because you love everything you do. You love and hate everything you do, let's put it that way. It's like, you know, everything, you know, can always be better, but you're still looking at it and you're happy with it because you put yourself into it.
Right. And I ask that question because, you know, there are some effects artists out there who have gone to school and they knew that that is what they wanted to do, you know, early on. Then there are some who started off doing something else and someone may have told them, you know, just like yourself, you could do this, you know, and then you start to go in that direction. And, I say it because there are so many artists out there. There are some who've been in school. Then there's some who haven't gone to school but yet still want to do this. So I was just trying to, and I asked that question of all of the face-off guests who are on the show because, you know, everyone has different answers, and I guess it's all based on, you know, what you guys have experienced. But I asked that because it just gives those out there who are trying to do the same thing an idea. Because some people say, you know, well, I can't do it because I haven't gone to school, but yet they have what they need, you know what I
yeah.
mean, to start or to do whatever it is they need to do. But they feel like, I guess, because maybe it's the norm for people to go and study through some program or something like that. I'm not really sure. But this is always interesting to hear how everyone answers that question.
Yeah. Also, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, and I think I told the producer of the show this before I actually made it onto the show. It was one of our earlier interviews, but it's an Einstein quote. He said, imagination is more important than knowledge. And that's something that's always stuck with me throughout anything that I've done is, you know, and even going through school, it's, you get all this information and you have to really know, you know, that it's your imagination that's going to, especially in art, you know, that's what's going to push you through to the next level. That's what's going to make you better is is that want and that desire to keep that imagination flowing. Everything we learn are just a detail, they're just a technicality. But if you can get your imagination out there, then you're starting to achieve something.
And what was that quote again? Imagination?
It's imagination is more important than knowledge.
Gotcha. It was almost sort of like what you said about creativity also. Just, you know, when you were on the show, it was more for you about creativity and not just knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. I think and people in every field, regardless of what they're doing, get caught up in the idea that they have to have a certain background, a certain information, you know, tied to them for them to achieve something great. And there's always a reason for all of us not to do something. You know, it's always easy to say, oh, well, I can't do that because I've never done this.
Right.
But, you know, in all reality, it's, I know it's kind of cliche, you hear it all the time, but, you know, I really think people can achieve anything if they just really want to do it, regardless of what kind of credentials they have for it.
Right. Absolutely. How do you think season one and two were different from each other? Because to me, it seemed like with season one, there was a heavy focus on, I just remember a lot of zombies and different creatures. Whereas season two, it may have been. It just seemed like it was kind of different where you got a chance to see more like aging. You had that competition with the aging, the body painting, just a different, it seemed like there were different areas of FX makeup being done more in two than in one. Did you see any differences in the two seasons?
Yeah, I did. Especially, you know, I think all of us went through the entire first season just to get an idea of what we could be looking at for the second season, you know, kind of to prepare ourselves. And they did a good job at mixing it up to where we weren't very comfortable.
Right.
You know, we assumed there would be some kind of an alien challenge because they're pretty classic, but we also assumed there was going to be some kind of a zombie challenge, and there never ended up being one. So, and the old age was kind of a curveball. We thought that we were actually talking, you know, I think one of the nights before the actual old age challenge, and a lot of us were like, they wouldn't do that. It takes way too long to get good old age makeups done, you know. So, and then, like, a couple episodes later, they throw it at us, and so that was a pretty good curveball. But I think, but that's, you know, what keeps this show going. If they did the exact same challenges every season, it'd get stale. That's why they have a great production team over there that are trying to figure out new challenges, you know, every single season. And I don't know what's going to happen for season three, but, you know, we can definitely expect to have a lot of curveballs and a lot of different ways to design characters. And I thought this season was really cool when they did the plants and the animal hybrids. And even the dinosaur hybrids, too, when you start talk about scale and upsizing, creating those shapes and that look. It'll be interesting to see what they can do, but they got a really good creative team, and I'm sure that they'll go many seasons beyond this with and keep coming up with those new challenges that no one's seen before. So it'll be cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What did you think about, because we see on a couple of different episodes where they had invited guests there. I remember LeVar Burton, Vivica Fox, and it seems like I remember, well, you know, there were loads of people from, effects people throughout season one and two who were on, like one of the Westmores, you know, who were just on as a judge. But it was interesting to see a couple of actors on the show.
Yeah, I was surprised at that, too.
Yeah, what did you think of Vivica Fox's and LeVar Burton's opinion of your work?
Well, you know, I think a lot of us were wondering, not so much LeVar, but Vivica, just, you know, how much, you always question how much they would know about makeup effects. But sometimes it's not about you know, kind of goes back to the whole what you know about something. If something looks good, it looks good. And whether you have all the words to be able to describe it technically, or if you just say, oh, that looks good, oh, that doesn't look good, you know, everyone has this built-in aesthetic in their minds that it doesn't take anyone special to see something on stage and, mm-hmm. and be able to identify if it looks good or not. And so
right.
I think it was actually a good change of pace because you have, you know, the three judges that are in the industry and they know what they're looking for, and then you have someone who's just maybe had the prosthetics applied to them, maybe never done them, but they might look at it from a perspective of the model, you know, how they're able to see, how they're able to move. And so
mm-hmm.
I think that perspective is just as important as, you know, the actual creation of them. So I thought I found everything that they had to say pretty useful.
Right. I mean, again, another good move on the production's part, just, you know, mixing it up a little bit and doing something different with the show, I think.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could get a cake decorator in there, and we'd still be able to learn something from them, you know?
Absolutely, yep, absolutely. That would be interesting.
Yeah, I think it's all good.
That would definitely be interesting. Let me ask you a question. I mean, this doesn't necessarily apply to you and your work on the show, but what do you think about, and you know probably better than some of us, but what do you think about women, well, not necessarily what do you think about them as special effects artists, but, you know, we don't see a lot of women, except when we see this show, we see a lot of, you know, we see female contestants when we see this show, but when we think about the special effects, we don't really think in our heads women all the time, except, you know, we know V. Neal and her work. But she's one of the only women that a lot of us, if we're paying attention, see. And I'm sure there's a lot more out there working. There's a lot more. I'm not sure how many more out there are working with special effects at these level.
Yeah.
How much do you know about that?
I don't know a ton because I'm not necessarily in the industry
right.
yet. You know, this was kind of my first taste of it all, but and all I can really relate it to is the people that I came in contact with on the show, and just knowing that it's a male-dominated industry. But I look at some of the contestants, and I was impressed with, and one of them that went, Miranda, she went in the third episode, and I've been able to stay friends with her and a lot of people from the LA area. But
mm-hmm.
in seeing her work, and there were a lot of reasons why I picked her, and I was happy that no one else did by the time I got around to her there at that last episode, because I thought that she might have been the best female on the show. I thought that just some of her design aesthetics and the way she did her paint and the way she sculpted was better than me in a lot of ways. And so for me to get her on my team, I was just ecstatic. But yeah, I don't really understand why there would be less women than men. You know, it could have stemmed from years ago when it was developed just more of the gore and more of the scary stuff. And maybe it was just more guys that were into that back then, and it's just, you know, not really got away from that maybe. But as far
right.
as talent goes, there is no difference. You know, those girls were knocking out stuff that were just as good as the guys were. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and Sue is also, she was a phenomenal sculptor, and that the dinosaur she did there at the end was, I thought was really great. So, I don't know. I don't really know why that exists, but from what I hear, it does.
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we thank you so much for joining us tonight, but we have one last question that we always ask our guests, and that is, what is beauty to you?
What is beauty to me? This is a fun one because definitely it's in the eye of the beholder, just like we always hear, but I like to find beauty in the things that are ugly. And so the things that, you know, most of us look at is ugly and gross and wicked and evil, I like to take a further look at all those things, because I always can find beauty in some of the most nasty, ugly things in the world. And I think that's what's neat about that idea, is it's beauty can be found everywhere. And I think everything we look at, even, you know, in nature, every living thing is beautiful in its own way. And so beauty to me is everything, and especially everything that's not supposed to be beautiful.
All right. Nothing wrong with that one. Well, thank you so much, Race. We really appreciate you joining us. Appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. I really enjoyed the conversation. And keep in touch with us. Let us know where what you're doing and where you're going to be. And, if, you know, we'll make announcements here on Beauty Talk to let people know. And hopefully we'll get a chance to meet you at IMATS in Pasadena.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I definitely look forward to it. And thank you guys so much for having me on the show. It was fun.
You're welcome. And let us know about your let us know about your classes as well, and we'll get that out there too.
Okay, great. Yeah, we had a successful first one, so I think we're going to be doing a lot more of them. So
everybody can find everyone can find you on Facebook. Are you on Twitter at all?
Yeah, I just did a Twitter account. It's just under my name, at RaceBird. And then I've also got a website. It's just racebird.com. And we're going to be updating that here in the next couple months. Hopefully have some merchandise to sell on there as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So we'll look forward to that. And everybody go out to Facebook and check them out, or send them a tweet on Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll try to respond to everything.
Right. And he'll try to respond to everything. That's perfect. So, again, thank you so much, Race. We enjoy having you on the show tonight.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And for those of you listening, if you enjoyed the show tonight, go out to our profile page here on Blog Talk Radio and mark it as a favorite. And as always, stay tuned. We'll be making announcements on Facebook and Twitter. And join us next Sunday night, same time at 9 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a good night.